And wife in typically is something that I love to appreciate. Wife has not chosen it in others. One thing for sure, which I'm talking about before, wife has not picked Aria bin Abi. That's an important point of knowledge. And we'll be a couple other examples. So the first part of this year is simply to review and understand what's going on in sacred learning, how it's built, and what its key points are. And then try to understand why Chazal used so many sukkim, so many ideas of sacred learning, and incorporated it into Haggadah. In the second part of this year, we're going to go over the Haggadah again and see how to put them together. One last point of introduction is I want to sort of add a fifth son. Usually there's more fifth sons than the fourth sons, because everyone speaks of the extra son. There's a son that comes to this age, there's no son. But I like to call either the teenager or the first Vedicate son, which is usually Hanuha. And what would a teenager ask? What would a first Vedicate son ask? A very simple question. What are we thanking God for in the Seder? So simple. We're thanking Him for taking us out of Egypt, right? He tells a story, and we have to do. We have to give Hashem, we have to thank Hashem. We tell the story of how God took us out of Egypt. So if you listen to how we tell the story, I won't spend a lot of time on that. The story begins basically, it's no surprise that God takes us out of Egypt because He keeps His promise. He promised to take us out, but he also promised to put us in. Right? So what would a teenager say? Why do we thank God for taking us out? No, He put us in there. Why do you call that the teenager? What's usually a teenager do, right? Why should I thank you? Right? For feeding me, clothing me, giving me kernel. Why? You gave birth to me. It's your problem. Right? You want to have a kid. You know, I have to say thank you. You said thank you to me for going through this, right? But I don't do me any favors, right? You did something, take responsibility, but I have to thank you for putting me in there. You put me in there, right? You better take me out. Right? You thank me, right? But that's a frame of mind, which you all have teenagers. So you know what I'm talking about. And I think, not only that it's a good question, I think that's exactly what Maggi really deals with. So the point of view, we're going to review some things that Maggi might be familiar with, but I want to show from the viewpoint of Sefer Dvarim, right, how they're going to answer that question, so from the teenager's question, of what are we thanking God for? Okay, so we'll start part one, we'll talk about Sefer Dvarim. Okay, and just simply quick review of Sefer Dvarim. Hopefully it's going to be a review, and I'll try to hit the middle ground. First, I want to hear the right wrong answer. We won't do the whole shtick, but we'll do the introduction. What's the classic explanation of what Sefer Dvarim? A summary of? A summary quote, right? Right? Well, yeah. And then we'll get to Moshe's speech in a minute. But usually, when you say what's Sefer Dvarim, people say it's a summary quote. Then we go to the whole routine, proving there's not a word about Sefer Bereshit and Chumash, there's not about anything.
Mishnah.
A Mishnah Torah is what? Repeating the code. That's the second right wrong answer there. The Mishnah Torah means a repeat. What's it a repeat of? So it's not, none of the stories of Bereshit are there. Right? Not creation, not the Marvel, no, none of that stuff. Okay, it's not Bereshit. So they say right away, oh, it's complete and the law, right? Not that either. If you go to Shmuel, it's not the story of Set Mitzrayim, we don't have the Makot, nothing. And the only thing you have on Shmuel is the Ten Commandments. A couple little changes. And some of the laws of Mishpatim. None of the Mishkan stuff is there. So it's very little from Shmuel, nothing from Vayikra. Except maybe Shemitah from a totally different angle. Right? Yeah. And a couple of things from Bamidbar, the story of the Meraglim, and capturing Eber Yarden. But that's it. And very most of the laws that are brand new. So why everyone calls it repetition is the reason why it's very simple. Because Dvarim always comes out in the summer. Right? When we push, how do we know Chumash from Parshas Shavua? Or school, one of the other. School, lost cause. But from Parshas Shavua, when we learn, so it's summertime, right? So we always, Dvarim always begins Shabbat right before Tisha B'Av, right? It's always summer vacation. So when we start Dvarim in the middle of summer vacation. And if you're going to go to Shir, it's going to be Shir about 3 weeks or something. And by that time, vacation over, you're starting school. Start school, everyone's doing Rosh Hashanah, things, stuff like that. So Dvarim always gets the back seat. And then think, why? It's a repetition anyhow, so why? Why don't you say? So what I want to do now is show you what Dvarim is. It's very simple. We'll try to explain what Mishnah Torah means, how it's built. And when we understand what it is, we'll appreciate much better. To appreciate Dvarim, simply have to give a little shir called me what Chumash is. What Chumash is, how Chumash is built. Ideally, the Chumash was nice and organized, and people like you to be out of the job, Kufis would go like this. We have a story of Am Yisrael being chosen, coming out of Egypt, right? Arriving in Har Sinai. Am Yisrael gets to Har Sinai. Like, narrative. Like, then we go what? Matan Torah. Then we should get Shulchan Aruch, 613 Mitzvot. Okay. And then we finish, right? And continue. That was Kufis should be narrative, right? Mitzvot and narrative. That would be wonderful. That's what you expect. What happens instead? We get to Har Sinai. And what do we get? We get 10. Right? A little story. Then we get some more. Another story. Another tragedy. Another story. Then we get some more. We finish Mos. Right? Then we get Vayikra, a whole book of laws. Then not all of them. A mix of them. We get to Bamidbar. Every we have a story. Another set of laws. Right? Story of Korach. Another set of laws. Right? In between the stories, we have all these different laws. And finally, we get more. So instead of getting all the laws together, we get them in groups, in spurts. And that's not random, there's going to be a reason for each one. Or basically dealing with a bigger topic that he was giving a minute to. I like to call it the difference between composition and chronicle, which is a topic which relates to all Tanakh. Whenever you have a book in Tanakh, how do you view it? And from a student point of view, usually growing up, whether we realize it or not, usually we look at Chumash, and for sure Navi, as chronicle form. What do you mean by chronicle form? Like a diary. Someone has a diary. What happened? You write down what happened, and the next thing happens, you basically, in chronological order, I think that's why they call it chronicle. Because it goes, you're writing like a history book. It goes on. Now, what's the reason for the concept? What makes it a book? It's simply one point after another point after another point. So simply it's a collection, right? Maybe in chronological order, either of laws or stories, etc. That's one form of writing. There's another form of writing called composition. How come people hate the word composition? That was in school. Remember those days? How come teachers, you have to write a composition? How come everybody's proud? Because you have to think. What do you have to think about? You want to present material, but before you present the material, you have to organize it, and you have to point to it. You have to state your point or make a point. And then present the material the way that you make it, your point's done. And my point is, each book of Chumash, for sure each book of Leviticus, it's not an ongoing dialogue. I don't know, Rishon wrote this story, and passed the baton to Noah, right? And he passed the baton to Abraham, you know, and everyone gets a range of stories we went along. Right? But each book, in contrast to that, each book of Chumash is a composition. David Rashid is a composition, okay, a construct of composition. But it's written as a composition. And therefore, each book has a theme and a topic. And I learned from the book not only its content, but also its structure. For example, think of Vayikra. We started. It's not just a collection of laws. How the laws are presented, and what's in the book and what's not in the book, and how we go from one topic to the next, that's composition. The whole sheet of Im Mutam Mukhar B'Torah, that's exactly the idea behind it. That the laws aren't presented simply in chronological order. It's a prophetic composition. And you're supposed to learn not only from the laws, but also from how they're presented. That's important. Chiluk that I told you that gives me 5 meters for nothing. Because if it wasn't, then what becomes your work? How do you figure out what the message is? You got to analyze the book and figure out how it's built. And let me talk about the parsha zul. That's what makes it interesting. And then there's the analytical side, and then how do you reach a conclusion? Then you can argue about it. Then you can parsha name, and that's what makes it interesting. But there's an underlying assumption in every book you read. Things stand for Shoftim. Right? It's not just a list of what happened with the Shoftim, it's composition. Because first we make a statement, and then we have these stories at the end. How we present the Shoftim and all the stories at the end, there's a composition being made for a reason. So that was a possibility for when we were thinking what happened. Yeah, we didn't think about that, but a possibility. So therefore, anytime you study a book of Chumash, I think it's an underlying assumption that we're not always aware of. So when you have the underlying assumption, I had simply a chronicle here, that means it's all these problems. Now, how come this is out of order? When the underlying assumption is this is a composition, then I have to pay attention to the order and structure and say, what am I supposed to look for? That's in general about Chumash. Now we want to try to understand how Sefer Devarim built, what's going on? Because it's a short share, I'm sure it's still the beans. In fact, you have to know, give one of these long assignments and they can understand everything. We'll just get right to the point. And someone mentioned before, Sefer Devarim is a collection of speeches by Moshe Rabbeinu in the 40th year, a month before it passes away, beginning of the 11th month. He gathers Am Yisrael together and gives them sort of divine speech. A long one. And David Byrne records those speeches. Now, there are several speeches, but there's one big speech. Okay? And for lack of time, we're going to jump right to the big speech and understand what the big speech is for a very simple reason. When you understand what the big speech is, we'll realize that the first speech introduces the big speech and everything else is the result of it. So we're going to take 2 minutes and see what the speech is about. Open up the entire page. Okay, if you have time later on, if you want to know this, if you want to identify the speech, it's very technical, but it's very simple. When someone's giving a speech, he writes in first person. Right? And when the narrator, all through Chumash up until now, we have what's called the narrator speaking, or Chumash speaking. That's always in third person. Rashid Bar Elohim. Or even Moshe writes about himself in third person. When we get the Sefer Dvarim, most of the book is in first person because simply it's a speech, and we quote the speech. But the introductory psukim still remain like Chumash was before in third person. For example, the first passage is on Elad Dvarim, Asher Diber Moshe, that's third person. But Moshe, after 5 psukim later, he begins to speak. So look in Perek Hey, it's nice and simple, we can identify it in a minute. Look in Perek Hey, Pasuk Aleph. Perek Hey, Pasuk Aleph. Like Ram Moshe, Ko Yisrael, Yemer Lehem, that's third person, correct? That's the narrator of Chumash speaks. Let's deal with it. As like Ram Hashem, Moshe called the people and told them, Kalim, quote, open quote, right? Shmai, how does the speech begin with what word? Shmai Yisrael. Not Hashem, that's the main word. Shmai Yisrael, Tachukim, that's the main story. He begins the speech. Now, if we were to make better, shall we do? Give an assignment, go see where the speech ends. Meaning what? Go look and find where third person returns. And to save us a lot of time, maybe you use a half-hour assignment, because you keep going, and going, and going, and going, and it doesn't end. Most of these goes on, and on, and on, and on. And who knows where it ends? Where? Chav Zayin is over. It's the last part of Chav Vav. But look at the beginning of Chav Zayin. In Dvarim. That's why the little class would be a lot, just to make sure if you have a little one, it would be a lot easier than the big one. I'll let you take me through the walking. Okay, look at Terech HaZayin. I'm going to show you that. It says, by Tav Moshe, if you can't start on the marsh, that's already third person. And guess what the mitzvah is there? What's the mitzvah? When you come into the land, what are you going to do? You're going to take all these laws I just told you for Perek Hei to Perek Chav and write them down on them. Teach them and write them down on a big money, etc. That's what happens later in Harigah. Right? So again, the mitzvah after the speech is over is to Pasuk Gimel. So Katata Mele Kodi Vrei Torah Zot Vavrecha. Take down all these words. So, by the way, look at, you know, the last bit, the speech ends in Perek Chav, and look how Perek Chav begins, the prelude. See what's the beginning of Perek Chav? What law? The law of Bikurim, right? Does that relate to the Seder anyway? That's good old Arami Avi Navi, which we're going to get to. But I want to appreciate, when we understand where Mikra Bikurim is located in the speech, and what the speech is about, that will help us appreciate why Chazal chose it for Arami Avi Navi. We want to introduce what I'm getting at. I want to appreciate where Mikra Bikurim is in Chumash to appreciate why Chazal put it into Magid and how they put it into Magid. Now let's go back to the speech of Perek. Then I just want to show you how big the speech is, okay? From just big in a corner, but in a bigger book, it's even bigger. It's a big speech. Now again, it goes from Perek to Chazal. Now in speech class, what do they teach you? When you speak, what do you do? First, say what you're going to say. Right? Say it, and say what you said. Right? And that's what we're going to see. How Moshe does it right to the point. Okay. Let's see how Moshe begins his speech. He's going to say what he's going to say. Okay. Let's read the first passage of the speech. Let's take his speech back. Perek Hey, Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer lehem, Shma Yisrael, et hachukim et hamishpatim, asher Elohim dovr b'atzeichem hayom, ulmaltem otam ushmartem matzotam. What's the speech going to be about? It's going to be a boring one. What's it going to be? This is what? Listen to these laws, Chukim Mishpatim, which I'm going to teach you today. Right? Basically, what do you hear in the beginning? You're about to hear a whole set of laws. And what do you have to do with these laws? You gotta learn them and keep them. There's two types of yeshivas, right? There's those that learn them and those that keep them. Sometimes most things you gotta do, you have to do both. Okay, it's smarta, matota. That's the beginning. Now, what would you expect? What should come next? If Moshe says, hey, these are the laws that I'm gonna teach you and keep them, what should come next?
The
laws. The laws, right? Start with get up in the morning and watch that go about start. Get started with clothes over. Look what we get instead. What happens instead? Pasuk bet. Hashem Elokeinu brought him out of Brit Bachorim. It starts with a story, like a good speaker, right? If you get stories right away, it begins with a story. In a minute we'll see what the story is going to be about. But what's the story begin? God made a brit in Chorim. That's going to be key to understand that God, you'll see as well. What happened? These laws, right, are not some set of laws. What are they? They're part of a covenant. They're part of a relationship. It's not here. It's not like you come to school. These are ground rules when you go to camp, right? The first day. These are the laws of camp and of school. I guess when you join the shul, right? These are the laws. Right? And if you follow them, you won't get any warning letters. If you don't, so these are the laws you have to keep them. And why does it pay to keep them? It makes sense. Now, what do you say? These laws are part of a covenant. Okay? The God made with you. By the way, when was this speech given? What year is it? Year 40. Right? What was the first thing you get out? I didn't sign it. Go to my board. I didn't sign no contracts, right? Look at the next puzzle. What's the given? Lord, I will tell you about the Shabbat Brit Hazot. He said, no, I'm not going to buy you from the Brit. Don't think that that brick was only made for what? For that generation. It's with you as well. Now, that's going to be a key point in Haggadah. We'll see later on. Remember, the Chodah Bazar, right? This brick, even though it was made with the first generation, what's Moshe tell them? No, it wasn't made with them, it was for you. And we're going to see that thing all through the speech. Moshe is going to speak to the new generation as though there's an old generation. For a very important reason, because that brief wasn't made for one generation, it was made for all generations. And then for every generation, has to see, what do we think that's not better? The whole world is all high, that's what I'm talking about. What's the Shinemar there? Do you remember? That's in the Magi. So, you don't remember what Moshe just wrote there? Shinemar? Voltano with Timisha. That's the Mishnah, but later the Gemara brings on. We say Nagana Voltano with Timisha. And no one pays attention by then, right? What? How does Voltano with Timisha mean? Where's it coming from? What is it? Does anyone remember that quote? Voltano with Timisha? I think it's in Nagana, right? What? It's at the end. But by then we're not paying attention anymore. I call them Suki the Zimbabwe Suki. When you read them, you don't pay any attention to what they mean. But that statement, again, when we get to the speech, we'll appreciate where it's coming from, because we'll see where it's quoted and what happens with that. But pay attention, the Moshe throughout the speech is consistently talking about coming out of this new door, because those are the old generation. Two last lines in the introduction, these laws is not a problem. If these are God's laws, right? If it's a covenant with you and God, then who should be giving them? But God saved himself. So what's Moshe saying? You know what? God really began to give these laws directly. But what happened? Okay. God really wanted to give you all these laws directly, and that's how it began. But what happened? You guys chickened out. That's a whole big story, which we'll see soon. And because you chickened out, I'm the middleman. So really, the God's laws, because what do we think people think? Moshe's making them up. We know the problem. If the rabbi, if God said the laws, I'll keep them. If the rabbis made them up, then I'll pick and choose. But what Moshe is saying in the beginning, what Moshe is saying right up front, that these laws are part of the covenant, and they're coming directly from God, the fact that I'm giving it to you, is only because that's what you asked. Now, in that context, what does Moshe do now? What's he doing? He quotes the Ten Commandments, and it's important to point out, it's not a review of the Ten Commandments, he's quoting the Ten Commandments because that's how the Brit was first given. That was the direct part. But right after the Ten Commandments, I don't continue with more mitzvot. The Ten Commandments is part of the story. And what's the story about? The first story in the speech should be nice and simple. Moshe is going to begin the speech with the story of when the speech was first given. And that's going to be the key to understanding sacred learning. You'll understand why in a minute. But let me repeat that again, because it's a key point. Moshe begins to speak, saying, I'm going to come and teach you laws today. These laws I'm coming to teach you. But these these laws are part of the brief. But before he gets to the laws themselves, he's going to explain when and how these laws were first given. And it's going to touch on a key point of the commission. Let's pick up the story after the Ten Commandments are over. In Pasuk Chaf. We have the Ten Commandments and how they came down. In Pasuk Chaf. And in Pasuk Chaf, Pasuk Chaf. ויקש עליכם את הכל מתוך החושך והר בוער באש ותקבון אלי כל ראשי שבטיכם ותקבון ותומן הירבן וכו'. I'll paraphrase the story quickly. What happened? After the Ten Commandments were given, it's a similar story in Sefer Shemot. What happened? You got scared. Why? You couldn't take the mamah. The experience was too intense for you. It was too much. And everyone came to Moshe and said what? Skip to, what do you call it? Pasuk Chav Gimel. Okay? I'm sorry, Pasuk Chav Dal. Pasuk Chav Dal, we can skip all the things. Explain how scared they were.
He begins with the story about what?
Since these laws are part of the three, and how and when they were first given. How were they first given? To Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. And what's special about this set of laws? These are laws that have to be kept as you come into life. Basubar. So I have already a category for the law. What is the first law going to be? By the means, I don't fall asleep. What's the most I can say now? What's the valid? You gotta wake him up, right? Shema Yisrael, again, that's how he began. That is a joke, and that's seriously. Right? That's how Shema is a wake-up call, so it should be. But Moshe says that Shema Yisrael because we're beginning an important stage in his speech. And he makes an important statement, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the soul of all the law. What's the first mitzvah? I thought the 11th commandment. What's the first mitzvah going to be now? Ba'atet Hashem Elokeinu. This is very meaningful, right? What's the reason why they're hearing all these laws from Moshe instead of God? There's too much yira, that was good. But there's a danger to much yira. Right? Too much yira, too distant, right? What's the first thing that has to be? Vahapa. That's a pulpit rabbi can talk it up. But, right? That'll be all that, like, vahapa, yira, etc. So it's the first, because you're too scared, right? First is that. If they wanted to hear directly from Hashem, the first thing Moshe would have to tell them is yira, right? Because they already have too much yira, not to balance with yira, vahapa. But again, that's still an introductory statement. Now we have famous Pasuk to know by heart. Pasuk Vav. Vayu had burning ma'ira. What's that referring to? What's that burning ma'ira going to refer to now? The laws that are coming up. We say every day in Shema. Vayu had burning ma'ira, asher lochi. Mitzatah yom. So these laws that are going to come up today. Al abecha, right? Pay attention to this. Vishinatim levenecha. What's that mean? Who can teach? What? Yeah. How do we can teach? You're a teacher. Vishinatam levanacha, that's the Mutsu Hebrew word for Vishinatam. What did Moshe use for the word to teach before? Ulamaratam, right? Shinun is not to teach, it's more than that. Shinun is? Shinun is to? Mishaneh, to repeat over and over again. Got it? What's special about these laws? They're like they call it, it's called the repeating cues, I think we used to call them growing up. These are things that need to be repeated all the reminders. Every parent knows what happens, right? Certain things get repeated all the time. It's straight, how you should, all that. Certain things, which are basic, have to be repeated over and over and over again. These laws of statement, the very Mabata Hashem, require constant repetition. Vishinatam levanacha, shinun, vidibartava, vishikavai. Everywhere you turn, you have your mezuzot, everywhere you turn, you have these laws. Well, what are we going to call a set of laws that require shinun? Would be a nice name for a set of laws like that? Mishneh Torah. How do I call Mishneh Torah? It's not a set of laws, it's not a repeat of laws, it's a set of laws that require repetition, because that's what it says here, right? In fact, one thing, how about that explains now? I'm going to get it. Let's go back to the opening sukkim of Sefer Devarim, which are Mamash and Enigmatic without that background. Keep your finger here, no one is too out of context. Look how Sefer Devarim begins. Very strange sukkim. Eila Hadvarim is an exception to the book. Asher Diber Moshe Rabbeinu, these are the things, what things? These are the speeches. So the speech that Moshe gave to the Bnei Yisrael. Where did he give the speech? They write a day. That's the speech. Where else did he give the speech? Bamidbar. Where else did he give the speech? Maraba. Where else? Mutsu. And Maram, Bnei Tosa. How come he gave the speech so many times? So this speech, Moshe Rabbeinu received these laws about what to do when he comes into the land on Har Sinai. He first told it to the Bnei Yisrael after he came down from Har Sinai after that day was over. He told him over and over again. Why? That's what they need. Now, instead of regarding that's not the first time he's giving the speech, it's the last time he's giving the speech. Got it? Now, understand? Now, look at Pasuk Bet, which is beautiful now. Achad at Yomi Chorei Derech HaTeach Kadesh Barnea, which is enigmatic. When you read it, it seems totally enigmatic. What's going on? Now it makes perfect sense. But where was the speech given to its most intensity? When? On the 11-day journey from where to where? From Chorei, which is none other than Har Sinai, to Kadesh Barnea, which is what? What happened in Kadesh Barnea? The Meraglim. Had Am Yisrael not sinned by the Meraglim, what would have happened from Kadesh Barnea? They would have gone to the land. What did they do for night there during that 11-day journey? Right? What was the 11-day journey? That was the journey from Har Sinai, marching there to Israel. That was the big march going in. Correct? What did they learn during that 11-day march? The laws of Sefer Devarim. Why? Those are laws that you need when you come to the land. That's what they're all about. Remember all these laws about how to fight a war? And not to become too haughty when you win? And not to become too scared before you begin to fight? And what type of economic systems are set up, what type of political systems are set up, and also what would be the second party. But how to set up a country, and how to conquer a country. How to set up would be Hashem's plan. Okay, good? So therefore, this speech was given many times, Mishneh Torah, especially when on the 11th day journey. Now, in the meantime, in the meantime, what happened? Happened they didn't go in right away. Give me the wrong answer, what? What's that? Not that, Chetam Rajli. Because the Chetam Rajli, the whole entrance had to be put up for 40 years. Now there's a new generation. What do we need to do again? Before they're about to go in? Let's repeat them again, just like before. That explains the first speech. What's the first speech about how to begin? What's the first story that's repeated in the Bargain? The first speech? There's all the Bargain about Chetam Rajli. Why? It's not coming to give a review or repeat of Chumash. It's coming to explain, right, why we need the main speech. It's coming to explain how come it's been 40 years since the speech was first given. Okay? Yeah, without going into all the details, that's going to explain the beginning of the speech. In fact, if you look at the Gibbon, Vayivar, Vayim Shana, now in the 40th year, Moses is giving the speech one last time. Putting it all together. If you look, for example, in Pasuk Yotet, the Tarakala, We travel this whole journey from Chorei to Kadesh Barnea. God said, Ale Resh, and then what happened? By the way, the story before part about the Shoftim, it sounds like Yitro. What's that about? How do we need Shoftim and Shoftim? What's their job? They're going to teach, before we travel, what do we need? Coach can't teach everybody. But we need a whole hierarchy system of education. And how are we going to teach a lot? Remember, Batsavetchem, that's what they give test. And then we'll go back to our topic. Batsavetchem Beitahi, it's called Rav Asher Tatsun, that's exactly what he taught. There's a lot of support. By the way, you want to explain how he explained the first two in the Bahrain? It's an Ebenezer. Okay? So the people give all these places. And both Ebenezer and Ramban both agree that the Bahrain is referring that to the It's referring to the main speech from the Rebbe. Big speech from Rebbe Chava. Okay. Now we'll go back to that speech. Okay. So the speech, now we understand why it's called Mishneh Torah. What it means, it's a set of laws that need to be repeated. In fact, what's interesting is, when Sefer Shmuel talks about Moshe Rabbeinu coming up to Sinai and coming down, it only focused on the whole problem of Chet HaEgel and Shekhinah and the Mishkan. So Sefer Shmuel focuses on the strange relationship. Can the breed continue? And when it continues, we're going to build a house for the that the Olam Moed can be. But it doesn't tell us the laws that Moshe received on Har Sinai. It just tells us that Moshe came down and got, and he told us to face all the laws. And the other part that he said, remember Moshe came down, the remember the Michelangelo to be? Was that, you know what I'm talking about? There it says Moshe came down and told me that all the things that got put up on Har Sinai. You want to write it down, it's prepared on the Dalai Lama's bed. We can smoke. We don't have time to see it. But Sefer Shmuel tells you the Moshe came down and told them all the laws, but doesn't record the laws. They were given, again, it's important. They were given to Bnei Yisrael that time, but they're not recorded in Chumash. Where is Chumash recorded? They're not in Vayikra. They're not in Vayikra, they're in Dvarim. In fact, Dvarim is not a reference. Dvarim is Matan Torah, right? It's not the question of what's repeated in Dvarim. If there's something before, if there's laws in Chumash before Dvarim, that's the question. What are they doing there? Understand? The main laws that you need are in Dvarim. That's the main speech. If there's a law beforehand, right, what part should we be fuzzing doing early, right? Hold on, but on that, right? What's the Igor about? That's a special book, that's what Kohanim, that's something that the Kohanim needs to know. But what are the laws, the nitty gritty laws, that's the laws in the book. Now, with that in mind, now we'll see the student, now we'll get the student of Nagara. What's the first law in Pasuk Yud? We're up to, right? Back to Tarakeda. Now, Tarakeda, I'm sorry. Tarakeda, back to Shema. This is the first one. Okay? When you come in the land, God will give you this land. And he says, what? Nobody calls. You're going to everything to be on a separate platter. You're going to come in the land, and you have all these things. You're going to get houses you didn't build, right? The son-in-law problem. Okay? Houses you didn't build, right? Things you didn't get, and what do you do? Make sure what? Don't take it all for granted. Important point. Don't test God like you did before. There was a lot of introductory things that are coming to land. Look down past the top. Now we finally get to that. I brought up part of the verse. Again, we're in history to the world, forgetting Muslims to begin. Look at Mustafa. Sounds familiar, right? Called the Chacham's question. Kishaka bin Chamachar Lemor. Should or when? I think it means more than when. You'll see it in a minute. It's got to be a when and not a if. Should or when? Your son asked you, Ma haidut mafukim ha-mishpatim ha-shir kiva Hashem alayhem etchem? How would you translate that? What's ma mean? What, right? I call this the virtual term. Let's say your son asked what? What are the laws that I have to keep? No son ever asked that, right? What do you always ask? Why, right? And that's exactly what Kunz is going to give. If you look at English translations here, it's always, you'll see every English translation will read something else. How do they translate what? What they do not sure what?
You say.
What did they
say? What are the testimonies?
Just what are they? That's, I don't think that's such a good translation. It might be precise, but it might not be set in the context. Anyone say what mean? Or what for?
What
mean, okay? Jerusalem Bible says what mean. The article says what? Because, how come they say what mean? Because the answer, like in Jeopardy, right? You figure out the question based on the answer. What's the answer? What's the kapala? We don't tell what the laws are. What do we say? How do you mean the part of the sign? We come to explain not what they are, but why are we obligated? Now we see where Rabbi Meir comes from. What's the question about? What obligates us to keep the entire Torah? And what do we answer our child? So should your son ask you why are we obligated? Remember, we're about to give a whole book of his book. So we're pre-something. Right? Preemptive. Right? Okay. We're preemptive. The obvious question that children are going to ask, right? What's the reason? Why do we have to keep this? So what do we say? You're obligated. Why? We quote that Nagara, don't we? At the end. Otanu to Misham, the man of Yash, Otanu, the Tetanu, the Artesh, and his father of the king. We're going to be later on, but that. What do you tell your kids? We owe it to God. Why? Because we were slaves in Egypt. God took us out. For what purpose? To give us this land that he swore that he wanted to perform on. With Takati Allah, right? By Tavenu, that's what the Kukimela, the Matashan. These laws that I'm going to teach you now are the fear of God. And Sakati Elanu can be smart, it's good for us, and it's the right thing to do, etc. Now, what's interesting here, what happened? Who's Moshe speaking to now? It's the 40th year. And what's he saying? Ahadim, what are you supposed to tell your son? We were slaves in Egypt. God took us up. And he did all these miracles for us? How can they say that? It's a new generation. That's the problem? So how can Moshe Rabbeinu tell a new generation, go lie to your children? Go tell them that we were slaves in Egypt. So what does Chazal learn from that? If Chumash is telling you're supposed to tell your children we were slaves in Egypt, we got to cut out, then you can always say that if you really feel as though you were there and were taken out. That's going to be the quote at the end of the Haggadah. I'm going to explain it now, but we'll get to it later on. Then Terezayim will continue, Kiryat Al-Ar. Don't be afraid to fight again, like last time. Right? That's Terezayim. Vayakei Kishmon. And then, so it's all we quote from the beginning. In the Terechet, Moshe does a quick review. He takes a break in the speech, and he goes back what he learned from the 40 years of history. The Kolam Mitzvah Shir, remember, a Pasek Bet in Terechet. There's a Chatzit called Derech Hashir, or Rikha Zerah, which is not a Mitzvah. Again, Moshe goes to what we call nowadays a Shmuz. From there, he begins the laws that God gave him on Har Sinai, about how important it is to fear God and love God, and he goes into the whole Shmuz. Look at the Shmuz, right? I'm not saying anything. You know what I mean. He goes into what we call Musar, right? The whole thing about how to fear God, he gives the whole story about the exile, what he did wrong, etc. And this smoothing goes to where? To Paragudam. And what I'm getting at, the first section of the speech, remember how the speech was introduced? The speech, Moshe began saying, I'm going to tell you Chukim Mishpatim. But he didn't give them for a long time, that's a Paragudam. What's the first section of the speech? It's called Hamitzvah. What's Hamitzvah with Hei Idea? Hamitzvah, what's the mitzvah? That was the first pasuk of the speech of this section, was what? Hamitzvah, the mitzvah. That's attitude. That attitude problem, that attitude mitzvah of Avat Hashem is so important, the Moshe dedicates to it, five prakim, right? From Perek Hei, from Perek Vav, all the way to Perek Gedal. Look at Perek Gedal, pasuk Hafet, where this section ends. Kim Shomar Tishmeru Shevet Gira Lachavet. Kim Shomar Tishmeru is called HaMitzvah Hazot. Kim Shomar Tishmeru is called HaMitzvah? To do what? Lolechet. I'm sorry. אשר לוקחים את הנפש לחוקה, לאהבת השם עליכם רק בכל דרכה, בריש השם את כל כך. If you keep the right attitude, the one God do, God will help you conquer the world. There's something very cute here, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is that this mitzvah section, that begin with Shema Yisrael, that ends here. In a minute we'll prove that it ends here. But the first mitzvah was Shema Bahavta. Go back a little bit in 13 hours, look at the last parashiyah, from what you can give them. You have what's called Ma'ayah Shema. Sound familiar? Okay. The mitzvah section, ha-mitzvah, which builds your attitude to God, which is expounded upon over and over again in Prakim Batsir Aleph, it begins with Shema Yisra Bahata, and it ends with Bayim Shema. And that's probably the background for the Mishnah Sota talks about it when they read in Hakel. When they had to read it in Hakel, they would skip from Shema Yisra to Bahata. Because it's basically the same idea. But basically, what we do in Shema every day, we take the mitzvah section, we take the opening part, and the end part. Okay, that's the mitzvah section.
Thank you.
What did the king have to do? He has to write the Mishneh Torah, meaning the lot of glory. By time all the problem for him, what do you do? He has to read it every day. Why? Mishneh Torah. No, the word Mishneh Torah is only here. Nakate. Referring to laws of glory that the king has to read on a daily basis. It's very nice to include the Mishneh Torah. Okay. Now this goes on in more about 10 laws about how to fight a war. And not to fight a war. And then they have more jurisprudence laws later on in Kitzet. All those laws go on. Basically, what type of society are you going to set up when you come to the land? What's the last law? Now we're ready, the last part before we take a break to do the Lagada Pati. Okay. What's the last law? Right. Remember? How do these laws begin? These are laws you have to keep when you come to the land. Which side of the land did God give you that He promised to your forefathers to become God's nation? What's the last law you need? The Torah Kabbalah? It's the Mika Bikurim. But I wanted to show you, is the law of Bikurim is not a mitzvah to bring Bikurim, and we're not thanking God for our Bikurim, as you'd expect. It's totally different. In Bikurim, we're making a proclamation. We're thanking God for the land. And what do we bring? And we're bringing Bikurim as a token of our appreciation. You understand the difference? Okay. It's not that you bring Bikurim and say thank you for the Bikurim. You're coming to God once a year. Once a year, you have to make an annual proclamation saying, I recognize why God gave me the land. I appreciate the fact. That's all the teenager problem. Every year, it's not, my kid, Eretz Yisrael Shalom. It's not, the land belongs to us. The land belongs to God. And I have to show that I understand why and I appreciate why. And therefore, I come and I have to make a declaration. And when I come, I bring, you can't come empty-handed. So what do? You bring something very meaningful. You bring your first fruits. This goes back to Cain and, the Cain brought there? Several Cain did wrong in the very beginning of Chumash? You bring what do you bring? Mi Pri Adama, right? And what do we bring? Mi Rishit Pri Adama. That's something cute. How Chumash ends. But thinking there's always, when you're a man in the field, when you're a farmer, you always have the fear that you did it all yourself. And the ability to work the land and also find God, that's a big challenge, right? You can say, you cut yourself off for every, but it is, you find out that you need it. But you live in a land that apparently you don't need, and still feel that you need, that's a much harder challenge, it's more difficult. So a lot of people don't even try it. But that's like a real bad thing. To live in the world and find Dusha, and not to run away from it, that's much more difficult. To do it, that's something that you're taking part of. Anyway, let's read now Sefer Dvarim, the Torah Kabbalah, and show you what I was studying in class. Vayaki Dabala Arash, Asher Hashem Torah Kabbalah Kabbalah. Vayaki Dabala Arash, Asher Hashem Torah Kabbalah 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 I'm making a proclamation today. So what? Not that I brought my first fruit. I'm coming to make a proclamation that I recognize the one land of my yin, the one land that I settled down in, the land that you swore to my forefathers. And the coin case, etc. And then he makes a proclamation. Right? So what you do? He doesn't thank God for his first fruit. What does he do? But he gives a whole spiel. What does he say? His whole history. Which is clearly thanking God for fulfilling Brit Ben Tari. Remember Brit Ben Tari? You don't think that you get your father's full and of doing all them. Okay? But I wish I would have done an okay. I think it's a push to go. Help me not to repeat that, right? Remember that. What are we saying here? We're going through the whole, we're thanking Hashem for the whole process. Aramiya Bidavi, there is Islam of Hashem, and we're Teshmi Islam of Hazakab of Kulay. You're recognizing the process to which God gave you the land. And now it's a token of my appreciation. Right? And the token of our appreciation, right? Here's my first fruit. But the proclamation is thanking God for the land He promised our forefathers. But that's how we end one book. Because they have all these deeds and laws we have to keep, but we're getting the land for a reason. Because he gave it to our forefathers for a reason. And that's going to be, we'll see in a minute, the answer to the Kuzbidik and stuff. So, the title of the Shulchan Aruch. And 29 is the next law. When you address Tezvah, what's called Bidur Nato, which we do this year in Israel. Those who are in Israel, you have Kushat Shvi's wine. This year you take your wine out, you take all your, taking Kushat Shvi, you have to take it out this year. And it takes, yeah, they go to the bite for it. Anyway, back to, then afterwards we make another declaration, every 3 years, the what? It's very cute. We can say here, but it's your gimbal. Ramati Pi Hashem Elokeha, Biyati HaKodesh Bina Bayit, Yom Kudu Adi, Lager Liyatam Bamana, Kovik Tutem, Lo Kshat Imeno, Kule, Lo Kat Bari, we say HaPromiyah. Basically, what do we do? Yeah. Here we always have the, there's always a problem, we get these big thematic things, how it's important, I realize I'm from Mulan, this big, he got it, the Ayom, this proclamation, we get the bigger picture, suddenly that's all that's important. In the second part, we have to proclaim, I do all the little details. Remember, you always have to find a balance between being mocked with all the little details of things. Because sometimes you just see the little detail, you miss the big picture. You don't see the forest and the tree. Sometimes you just look at the forest, you don't see the tree. So you don't think the tree is important. But without the trees, you don't have a forest either. So therefore, it's very nice to have one big proclamation followed by another individual proclamation. And I did all my necessary things. Now, I'm going to finish my Zvorin section with the way Zvorin finishes. Look at the finale of the speech, how beautiful it is. Something said about it. Said line, I'm sorry. It proves that speech ends here. Hayom Hazeh, which say this day of the speech, Hashem Elokecha Metzavcha La'asot, what's God commanding you? Which Moses is saying for God, right? What can I see? On this day of the speech, God commanding you, Hafukim Ha'ele Bet HaMishpatim. Remember how the speech began? Remember how do we do the speech? Say what you're going to say. That's like the beginning. Say it, right? How's it end? Say what you said. What happens there? Hashem Elokecha Metzavcha La'asot Et Hafukim Ha'ele Bet HaMishpatim, Hukim Mishpatim, keep these cooking spatim, and how do you keep them? With the attitude of Hamitzvah. Keep them with Rasta Tashem Rasta Bechol Olokam. Pasuk Yizlan. Et Hashem Emad Hayom Yod Lacha Lelohim Lulechem Yidrocha Bishmorcho Lishmor Kukam Yishpatav Umishpatav Lishmor Bechol Olokam. You took upon yourself today, because again, we're repeating the brief. You took upon yourself today that you have to keep this law. And what's going to be? Hashem Emilcha Hayom Yod Olam Shula. You took upon yourself, like a marriage. Right? You took upon yourself to keep this law, and he took upon himself right, to make you an amtsvula. Kasher yiberla, what's that referring to? Where did God talk about being an amtsvula? Remember how to be nice? Remember? How did peace begin? Hashem elokeinu kvatzu v'ana brit b'chorev. Remember what the brit in Chorev? Yishmoa tishmu b'kolim, yishmartem et briti, v'item nitzkula mikolamim, v'mikolarek, v'atem tivu ma'amachem k'vod yivu gadosh. We spoke about that. Plus, you tell Yonah and Kolagoyim to make you special above other nations to serve it. Asher Asam, the Tilah Hashem Utiferet, for whose kid? Like, not for yours, but for God. For God, Tilah Hashem Utiferet, like we take Kohen Gadol. Okay? Uliyat Kam Kadosh, et Mamadet Kohani, the Tilah Hashem Utiferet, Uliyat, that Mamadet Kohani, Bogar Kadosh, Uliyat Kam Kadosh, Prashem Alokeha, Kasher Diver, and Har Sinai. This view of finale, what are we doing? At Har Sinai, you took upon yourself to keep this law to make you an Am Kadosh. How do you become an Am Kadosh? By keeping laws of the Torah. That's why the whole speech, we don't have time to show it, the whole speech began with Bidot HaTorah Shifta Moshe. What does Torah mean? The Torah is a procedure. If you know that, sure. Torah is a procedure. Instead of a Hora'ah, like in Parshat Tzav is coming up, perfect. You just read it in Mincha. Zot Tzav Olah, Zot Tzav. What's the procedure for bringing a Mincha or Olah, etc.? The word Torah up until now, say for Breshit, up until now in Chumash, is meant instead of procedure of how to accomplish something. How do you make it a law, et cetera? Something specific. All of a sudden, it becomes the whole name of the speech. Vezot HaTorah Shishta Moshe. At the end of Perek Dalet, introduces the speech. And we'll see in a minute in Perek Hazayin, Moshe writes down at the Pasuk Gimel in Hazayin. But that's when you couldn't write Torah, Torah, Torah. You write down this, how come the speech is during the Kodah Torah? There's a Torah, how to bring a Korban Olah, how to bring a Mincha. There's also a Torah recipe, how to become a Mamlechet Kohen Gadol Kadosh? Understand? There's always what's the result? How does Am Yisrael become a Goy Kadosh? By doing what? The laws of Sefer Dvarim. It's a set of instructions on how to reach a certain goal. So that's Sefer Dvarim in a nutshell. That's the main speech of Dvarim. And what Terach HaZayin is about is when you come to the land, break these laws down, put up these big stones of Haribal, and write them down, and go over them and teach them, Berete. Right? And then we're going to make a brief on this on Haribal. And that's going to be the brief. Then we have a Sokach on that. And then we're going to have a Hakel. Follow us. What are we going to do in Hakel? What do we read every year in Hakel, every 7 years? Mishneh Torah. rest of the book. There was a song at the end, and blessings and benediction and redemption. Look at Moshe and we're doing that. That's David Hunter. Now, should we take a quick break, or? But I want to do like 10 minutes on Haggadah. You need a break, you take a break, no? No, 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 okay. Okay. Now, take with that in mind, now we'll do the part which hopefully you're familiar with. I want to simply review the Haggadah now. That was it. Now I want to show, I want to adapt this to see what we do in Haggadah. Appreciate what happened. Okay, everyone has Haggadah page, I hope? Okay? Numbers for easy reference. Okay, take a look at the Haggadah page. Look at the Haggadah page, just the familiar side with it. They should do, they should make an idea what that is. They should make like a, you see I can fit almost all Maggid on one page? They should make like a laminated, you guys have a laminated Haggadah and everything on one spot. You can put your cup on there. Don't worry about wine stains, the whole here's Haggadah. Now, what's the name of Haggadah? Because let me tell the story. As the goal is to make again the shtick, the stove, real quick. When you tell a story, you got to begin somewhere. You can be boring and begin the story with come with creation. You can get right to the point and say, Abadim Ayinu, right? You got to this out. You can start with the Shmoni, you can start with the Rishi. How do we tell the story in Haggadah? Remember the Machal Gerav and Shmuel? Remember Matzeh Dugnun, the Sanyun Nishva? Remember Abadim Ayinu? Right? It sounds like a Machloket. How do we pass through the Magid? Sounds like we do both, right? I want to show you we don't do both. I mean, we mention both, but we say each one. The story we'll see, we begin with Yitzhak, and we'll see why. First of all, just real quick. Halach Ma'aya, I want to go through Haggadah real quick and figure out how we tell the story, where we tell the story. Got it? Halach Ma'aya is what? Is that the story? That's simply an invite. In jest, that's how we say it in Aramaic. Is that why? We don't want anyone to understand. big problem. Bani Shtana, it's simple. That's not the story, but if you got the Levincha, it's for the kids. So what do we do? We got to get their interest, right? So we get them interested. We get them talking. Okay. Now we get to the important part three. Abani Mayinu. Which sounds like we're beginning the story. But take a second to read Abani Mayinu. Read inside and tell me what we're doing. You see, I'm good for you. Read it for a minute and tell me if it's a story. Okay, you see why it's not a story? It sounds like a story, but how can we say, what are we doing in the first part of the paragraph? We're explaining what? Why do we have to tell the story? We're about to tell the story. Before, you'll see in a minute what we do in Haggadah. Before we tell the story, we talk about our obligation. We talk about why we're high. Why are we high up? Abadim Ayinu, okay? If a guy did stick us out, we'd still be slaves. Why did Haggadah choose? Before we tell the story, what's Haggadah want to do for a very good reason? You want to explain why we obligated. Before we do it, let's understand why. What pasuk of all psukim did Chumash did Haggadah pick to explain why we're chayav? The same pasuk explains what in Chumash? The pasuk of Chumash explains why we're chayav keep the entire Torah. Right? We use it to explain why we're chayav to tell the story of the Mishnah. Look how many mitzvot are because of the Mishnah. Shabbat, remember, in Dvarim, the Mishnah is the Mishnah. Now you probably understand why. It's not by chance. Every yom tov is zecher to set Mitzrayim. We stay in davening. There's so many mitzvot. Every day you have to mention he set Mitzrayim. It's something very basic. What to see why? We'll get to that soon. But what are we doing here? We're quoting Abani Meyuno. Now you understand why? Because it's the pasuk in Chumash that explains why we're hiding everything. For sure, that's why we're hiding to tell the story to set Mitzrayim. What's the second part? But what are we doing here? Yeah. We're doing what? Remember the interrogative. Who, what, where, what, whatever there. Okay? We did why we're high, now we know. Who's high? they like to say, even Muslims, right? Even even people think they know it all, right? Even people, even if you know the story, which is very understandable, right? I might think if they, I have to make sure you know. I have to make sure you know the story. It's a passive for you. What, even if you know the story, you have to tell it. And even if you don't have children to say, you have to tell it. Because I might think from, because the mincha is just a, you know, a kid's thing. No kids, then we're puzzled. So he said, no, if that would be the case, no one's like, well, now, what's the proof of that? Look at Forza about. What's Forza about? Might have Rabbi Eliezer, remember? Right? What do we have a story of? Know it all, right? They think they know it all. They really do. What do they do all night, right? They said that even though they know it all, they give them a Rigamar instead, something more important. What they do instead? They talk about, he sent me thrive. Why? Because that's the mitzvah of the evening. In other words, what are we doing? We're talking about our view before we get to the story. And then in 4b, we talk about the difference between tchir and tifor. Remember? That now we're doing tifor, by the way, every day this year. I think they're connected also. If there's a mitzvah every day to mention, he's definitely trying. Remember, everyone knows the chiddush of tchir and tifor? They have it. So the mitzvah at night is not tchir, but tifor. Every day is tchir. But if there's a mitzvah every day, it's tchir. Once a year, you got to recharge your battery. Got it? Now, the tchira becomes meaningful when you do a tifor once a year, then the tchira relates back to that tifor. Five is the four sons. We're about to do a drush with the four sons, right? With the four sons, we say, Baruch Atah Torah first, Baruch Baruch Hamaka Baruch Hu. Again, the four sons, notice by the way, we quote the Chacham's from, and we don't give the same answer. How do we understand Ma and by the Chacham? Ma doesn't mean why anymore. At the end, it's a drush. We take the question from Dvarim, my Dvarim Mishpatim, and we give a totally different answer. Now we understand Ma as what, and the what is what word of Allah does the Seder. What do we tell them? Learn that of Sahih. So we say here in jest. What should, what's the answer to Chumash to this question? My Dvarim Mishpatim? It's not Vadim Ayinu. But you have a white son, ask the question, right? Don't teach him Chumash, teach him Mishpatim. Then you have all the other sons. Again, are we telling the story here? What are we doing now? Yeah, but what are we doing? What question are we doing with? Then we did who, and we did why. What are we doing now? How do we tell the story? That's the Mishnah and Pesachim, right? Kedat ha'ben avalamdo. Faith and level of the child, and therefore we have a beautiful midrash of how to do it. That's the shirat stuff, how they do this. Okay. And since we cut off the top of the copy, but it means Yochav Yerushchoydesh. Remember that one? Yochav Yerushchoydesh. What's that talking about? When. And what did we basically do in Haggadah? Before we actually tell the story, we spend probably an hour about Seder. And if the kid comes up from Israel, 2 hours? What do we do? We talk about, we don't do what we're obligated to. What do we do? We talk about it. We have the same minhag in the school system. What do? In yeshiva. We talk about how important it is to learn. And we emphasize. You have to learn and why it's important to learn. We explain hours and hours of how important it is to learn, but we never get to learn, because we're talking about how important it is to learn, we never get around to learning. That's almost what's happening in Madrid. Because in most Seders, what happens right now? Attention spans are running up. Or waiting to confess. Okay. Now we finally get to the story. We still don't have a study of the Seder, right? Where do we get the story from? We're talking like Rav, right? The story begins with for a very good reason. That's the answer to the teenager. The story has to begin with what, by the way, listen to what we said. It's not a question of monotheism, polytheism, like they said, right? Because of that we were one of the Avodah Zarah, v'achshav, kirvanu ha-makom la-avodato. What happened? We came from a background of idol worshippers, but what did God do? God chose us. For what? For a reason. There's a statement of purpose here. Why did God take us out of Egypt? Because he wants us to be his servants. He didn't make us to be free. That's what we messed up in the song. I'll be the meal about seven quarters. We're still slaves. Remember? Now we're slaves. Look at that. Now we're servants. You know the difference between a slave and a servant? I think a slave does it because he has a whip on him. He doesn't want to do the work, but he has to because he's a slave. A servant, like Adam Arisha, above all the Shomra. You do it because it's the right thing to do. That's an Eben Hashem. You don't need a whip. You do it because you identify with your master. Because you understand what you're doing it first because it's the right thing to do. But why did God, again, why did God choose Avraham Avinu? There's a goal involved. God chose Avraham Avinu to become a mamlaka that's going to serve. And then what do we quote from Yeshua, and what do we do with this quote? We give it summarized paper Rishi, don't we? What do? We simply begin we begin with the story of the Bechira. And why does the story have to begin with Bechira? Because when Hashem chose Avraham Avinu, he already forecasted what? The Brit Ben Tarim, then what do you call it? There'll be, so, to be honest in the story, you have to begin with Brit Ben Tarim. With Bechira Tavo. So we don't even begin with Brit Ben Tarim, we begin with the Bechira. But how do we understand, why would God tell Avraham Avinu? Is he just telling him, hey, Avraham, we got a little secret for you. You know what's going to happen? Is this like insider information? Is that what it is? God's telling Avraham, you know what? No, I'm going to make you a nation, but it's not going to be so easy. What? Why did that have to be? Why did God tell Avraham Avinu, when he made the brit, to give him the land? Every bit of Tarim, every promise of the land as well. Not only Zerah, also Aretz, and the whole historical process of going down to Egypt, you're going to see it, you're going to have a it's like basic training. If you're going to be a nation that's going to work for God, God wants Abadim, remember? If we need Abadim, if God needs a nation of Abadim, what do you have to learn how to first time to do? You have to learn what it means to be an Israel. You have to go through basic training. And when you understand that, when you have to endure the hardship, then you can appreciate what you're going through. So therefore, God puts us through the hardship. God put us in to take us out. We're taking God again for the. We're not taking for the cliche. We're not taking for the event. We're taking for the process. That's going to be key for power. Besides time, it's not an event. It's a process. Just like tshuva. It's just about anything. We're taking God not for the event. If we want to make even heads away, we talk about Hakaras HaTov all the time, right? Hakaras HaTov is a popular thing. Hakaras HaTov is important. Emphasize over and over again in school. The favor is more than a car satov. The point is, I have to thank, he did me a favor, I have to thank him. It's like I call Hakar Yigud. Yigud in Hebrew is Yigud. In English, it is your destiny. So it's Yigud and your purpose. It's not just to thank Hashem for what he did, it's to thank Hashem for why he did it. If I want to appreciate why God took me out, not why he took me out, why he put me in. And again, I'm thinking the answer to the question of the Kishad, as a teenager. Why did God, when you thank Hashem for taking us out, you have to also thank him for putting us in. But he put us in and took us out as part of a relationship. Why? God picked Avraham Avinu to become a nation that's going to work for him. And to become that nation, there's a necessary process to go through. And you have to recognize that. And when we thank Hashem for that, it's not just Hakaras HaTov, it's Hakaras HaYigud. Because you have to remember once a year why God picked you to become a nation, to become his servant. Yeah. I mean, what do you got? Kor Barzal is a good that's where Kazal this, but that's not when I call basic training, Kazal called Kor Barzal, right? Going through Egypt is Kor Barzal. It could be the better than an easier method. Again, that's what's called a Kasha. So that's how God decided to do it. There might be a better method, but try that every once in a while also. For some reason, we had to go through that process. Again, that's the whole topic why God had to. But it seems from the fact that as soon as God chooses Avraham Avinu, right away, it's right up front, we've been a target. And he's chosen, pretty much. Right? Again, is that because of the whole thing in how much Shibud Mitzrayim is because we did something wrong? Or Avraham did something else? There's a whole sugi about that. Because there's different reasons why we had to go through that. But the simplest reason is, it's part of the process. It's part of the necessary process that I'm supposed to go through. And then what do we do in 8 afterwards? Baruch Shemar Tachato. And we mentioned the whole Sukkim or Bipen of Tarim. He says in 8. We have to mention Bipen of Tarim because that's where the story begins. But not only technically speaking, but thematically speaking. You have to understand when you thank God for taking you out, you have to understand why he put you in. And you have to thank God for the process, and not just for the event. Then we get the famous Bishamda, which makes perfect sense now. The he is referring to the brief, the Aftakha, Baruch Shem Aftakhato. Bishamda Alavatenu, now we connect it to our generation, every generation. Bishamda Alavatenu Valar. And this year we understand much better. Shabbat Alavatenu Valar, Shabbat Alavatenu Valar, Shabbat Alavatenu Valar, Shabbat Alavatenu Valar. Why does God save us in every generation? And why does God sometimes have to punish us in different generations? Because it's part of the brief to get it down first. Part of an ongoing relationship. So that's how we get to, that's how we begin, because we still have a couple of stories. Now we get to the typical part. And most haters, if they were waiting up until now, attention span, now we just do, you know, it's like, you know, how do you play? What do you call it? No. We get the daughter fast forward. And then we do, say, bum, 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 and we, you know, rush to the end. Now, we haven't told the story yet. How do we tell the story? That's text. But again, without thinking, what do? We take the story, what does Chazal say in the Mishnah? What do? We take the psukim of Aramei Avinavi, which we read before, and we darshan them. Now, before we talk about this, how we darshan them, very simply, I want to explain now, based on the shir, why did Chazal pick Aramei Avinavi to do it? Right? In essence, what's happening in Sefer Dvarim? Sefer Dvarim is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving to Am Yisrael, setting his thought that they have to keep when they come to the land to recognize why they were chosen. It's how to become a Mechatzat Kohanim Goy Kadosh. Again, why did God choose Avraham Avinu, which is in the beginning, Vashem Kibana Mechum Ravadato? He had the job for that nation, to become a Mechatzat Kohanim Goy Kadosh. How do they become a Mechatzat Kohanim Goy Kadosh? By keeping the laws of David's word. Now, how do the laws of David's word end? Once a year I have to make a proclamation where I appreciate and understand for what purpose God gave me the land. At Arta Shri Vashem Levatinu, that's at Levatinu. And what are we taking for? We're taking for the, not for the event, we're taking for the whole process. This will begin with Arami Avedavi. By the way, shut now Arami Avedavi, like Ebenezer, isn't it? You know the Machloket? Arami means, is Arami Yaakov or Lava? Okay? If Simuk Shad is, Arami goes, our, my forefathers, Yaakov or Abraham or both, were wandering Arameans, that's what Ebenezer explained, and they went to Egypt. So because we're taking God for our homeland, what do we have to do first? What do we say? First we were wanderers, first we didn't have a homeland. We were a wandering nation, and now we're settled down. And that's why Ebenezer makes perfect sense. What does Rashi say that Rashi brings down? Like, what do? We take our Armei Avedavi and the Oved becomes the verb instead of the adjective. Right? And our Armei becomes Yaakov, Laban instead of Yaakov. The beautiful Rasha that we're worried more about, the people like Laban, we have to worry about assimilators, as much as annihilated. There's Paros to worry about, there's Lovus to worry about. They're both dangerous. Remember the old Brazil, you have to worry about Amalek, you have to worry about America. You have to worry about assimilation, you have to worry about people want to kill us. Yeah, but what are we doing in our Armei Avedavi? We take the Pasuk and we darshan. So what could we do? We just simply use that Pasuk and that's it. So we darshan. Now, again, why does Chazal pick it? If our Armei Avedavi is thanking Hashem for fulfilling Brit Ben of Covering, right? That's exactly what it is. It's a yearly proclamation through which every Jew thanks Hashem for understanding why he was chosen. And based on the pattern of faith of Bikbet Tarim. So if I have a biblical nusta of how to thank Hashem for Bikbet Tarim, which is why we bring Bikurim, and if I understand that we're thanking Hashem for keeping Bikbet Tarim, I use the same nusta. Also, there's almost a Jerusha. Here it says, Yigat Tayyom Hashem Elokecha, and the mitzvah of Haggadah is, Yigat Tot Mincha. I would call it real Jerusha, but it's the medical. Now, for that reason, to summarize, I think that's why Chazal chose our Armei Avedavi for that brother. Why is the Mishnah pick, of all things, how come they pick that as a nusach? It's not just, oh, you know, let's say the same text. No, it's not that, you know, no one wants to write something new. I think it's thematically very important that we chose Dr. Armei Avedavi as the vehicle through which we tell the story. Because it's thematically very significant. Because it's the same thing. Again, it's the answer to the teenager. It's the answer to the chutzpah of his son. Why thank God for taking it up? He put it in. Because we have to take Hashem not for taking it for wine to get that. Again, for the process and not just for the event. Now, once we're doing that, we darshan it. Again, we don't want that short to be too short. So we take it to Kim and darshan it. How do we darshan it? So there's different ways you can darshan it any way you want according to Mishnah. We have a new stuff like Yeshmanetz. We have a new Kadafi to new stuff. And we pick like Rashi Sheet of Teilumah. But basically, what we're doing is going through the whole thing. Got it? So I don't go through the drasha that you can do on your own. Now, why is that important to know? In a Seder, the halakha also. If you don't read this, you just read, it's only Gioraita. So, you will not have to understand the Rabbanim. But this is Gioraita of Aliba. I'll tell you a story. If you don't read our Amina B, and I think the Machmir, if you don't understand what you're doing, telling stories, then you weren't your Seder Chavah. Now, the halakha also, if you only have 10 minutes to say, you know, whatever reason it is. You only have 10 minutes for Magi, right? So if you cut something out, this is the only thing, this is for sure to say this. Or of a Gamliel, we'll see why in a minute. We finish the drasha with, remember, Davar Acher? Biyachad HaKash Taim, we're going to send The last drasha we do on the pasuk is v'yetzer tekashtayim v'yetzer tekashtayim v'yetzer tekashtayim v'yetzer tekashtayim v'yetzer tekashtayim v'yetzer tekashtayim. Then we have the multiplication tables. Remember those? Okay. No, one liter is 50 maliyah, and then Rabbi Kiva puts in a multiple four or five, and we get up to 250. Okay. And then we have that everyone uses. Okay. Then we have Dayenu. We have the song, Ilo Tzeyanu Mitzrayim. You know the Dayenu part. Remember Dayenu, we did not have the tank. But that wouldn't be enough. Only the money part was enough. Only the, that's not going to be no question on it. That only gets the money. And that no, there's no question on that. But all the other ones, the Hakki came up, we didn't get the Torah. So that Eric told us. But all the other things, going but Dayenu doesn't mean, and it would be enough to say halakha. We're about to do Sheva. So each, there's all these different stages of thanking God. Again, where do we see from there? Redemption is a process. See how beautiful is the process in Dayenu? Remember? It's a stage-by-stage process until we go to the Beit HaTorah. And we have to thank Hashem for every step. And we have to thank Him for one step, Kavu Chomra, Kavu Chomra, for all the steps. That's Dayenu. Rabbi Gamliel. Remember Rabbi Gamliel? What did now say how simple it is? Rabbi Gamliel, Kol Shom HaShem Shom HaShem 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 HaShem. That's simple. In other words, if I didn't, there's something very didactic here, very educational. If I go through this whole story and I don't relate it to the mitzvot that I'm keeping, then I don't appreciate the mitzvah. So what do I have to do? In order to appreciate eating matzah and pesach and maror, I have to connect between the mitzvot that I'm keeping and the story that I just told. Okay, so that's why we have the chumrah. Okay, some people say if you're minimum time, you can say Rav Gamliel would be enough. That's not much a minimum few, it's not okay. Posting what you do on a minimum, you know, the old minimum, like chicken dinner minimum, you know. But here also, what's the minimum magi? So minimum time, Aram Yav Yilavi and Rabbi Gamliel, and they only have one for one of them, so, then we have a Chodor Vador, so we told the story, now we have to take it again, the same thing. What happened back then, we're not the same thing as what happened, it relates to every generation. We Chodor Vador, Chai Vador, Tekilu, Shei, Tami, Tzayim, So it's a potato vodka with them, Ella Potano, Shinemar, Potano with Kimishan. See that? Where was that from? Remember the circumcised in the morning, Potano with Kimishan? Now it makes sense. But how do we know? They have to fill? Because if Moshe tells the people, that's what you're supposed to tell your kids. If you can't lie to them, then you have to project yourself. Now, if you understand the pre-pandemic is an eternal process and not just an event, it makes sense. That's exactly the psukim of the beginning of the speech, remember? Hashem Alein Kratim on a brief Bukharim, Lot Abotekan Karam. So that brief, even though it's the previous generation, is as meaningful as in every generation. Okay. And then we finish with Mike. Okay. I want to end. I want to end with what I want to go back to the passage we began with, and show the same idea of the answer to the first three questions. What was the passage that Machayim and Saint Magi? The God to Levitcha, Vayim Huremor. By the way, there's another passage, the Man to Sefer Baltevitcha, by Yisro. That's also we also talked about that passage before. Is it both? The master of the yeah. The master of the book is called the Yom, it's a certain difference. But, we got to the Vinca. Let's translate the puzzle. You want to take a look at it? It's very dim and small. Let's look at it. It's similar to my thoughts of that. And by the way, Patrick Bob, the Shiva Timim Tocha Matzo, the Gomish Vish, Shiva Timim Tocha, Bob and Zayn, it's very dim and small, talk about eating matzo. It's all things about eating matzo, the other coming out of Egypt. What's the last line afterwards? Pasachet. Very good gimbal, spot Pasachet. The guy that the Vitcha Biyom Olimor, what do you tell your son? Babur Zeh, Zeh in its context is referring to what? If we just said 7 days eat matzah. It's referring to eating matzah. It should your kid ask you, which is almost for sure he's going to ask you. You're not eating matzah for 7 days, no one's going to ask you a question. Like, what are we doing this for? What do you have to tell your child? Babur Zeh, for the sake of this matzah, or Chazal Tetzach Matzador, the thing is at least this matzah. Ata Hashem li mitzeti mimitzrayim. What did God do? God did for me these miracles when He took me out of Egypt. So what are we explaining here? Are we explaining why we're eating matzah? Are we explaining why God took us out of Egypt? You understand the difference between the two? What's that in the matzah? Are we explaining to our child how come we're eating matzah, or are we explaining to our child how come God took us out of Egypt? What's the child? What? Babur Zeh, for the sake of this matzah, God did for me these miracles, right? These things when He took me out of Egypt. What are we explaining?
Why
did God take us out of Egypt? Why do you gotta take it out of Egypt? In order that we fasten, we should tell our kids the opposite, don't we? We say we didn't fast because God took us out of Egypt. Remember, reasoning for remembering the event, right? According to the pasuk, what we're doing, remembering the process. So it's, why did God put us through this process to take us out of Egypt? In order that we keep the feet close. You know what that says? Remember Rashi? Rashi in that pasuk. Remember? But Boshah came in feet close out. I said, what's that the pasuk? Why did you guys take me out of Egypt? So I keep it to be told. That's exactly taking Hashem for the process. It's recognizing God put me in there to take me out. That's a very same idea. And it's even Ebenezer agrees. That's Ebenezer agrees, who's going to disagree? Come on. I don't think he's disagree with the concept, but how to understand the puzzle. He switches it around a little bit because of the puzzle later on in 12. That's a whole thinking question. But I think that the pasuk lends itself either way. The both are true. Like we must remember the event, but the event happens and we must. But that statement is the answer. I think again, it's the answer to the chutzpah that son. God put us through this process because He wants us to be His nation. And that's how we look at our history. It's not that accidental things happen, but there's a process going on that I'm supposed to recognize and realize, and we're part of a process that's for a reason. Again, as Hakrat Yigud as opposed to Hakrat Asot. That's how I sort of want to summarize what we're saying with that idea. That the Leila Seder is not just to remember what happened. That's just to be a nice, polite, subtle, let me do you a favor, to be nice and thankful. It's once a year, if it's Hakrat Asot, it wouldn't be that every mitzvah in Chumash is Zechir Tzat Mitzvah if it was only Hakrat Asot. Hakrat Yigud, understanding your purpose and your goal, Hashem Yivar Mechum Lavar Asot, that's something that requires daily mention and yearly making a big deal about. And therefore, I think that's why, I think, my trying to show you is why, trying to suggest reasons, why Chazal picked so many things from Sefer Dvarim to do Magid, and also the way Magid is set up, how it answers a very fundamental question about what are we thanking God for? And how it's too simplistic to understand just plain as a card to throw, thank God for something that happened, but much more, something much more fundamental, we're reminding ourselves why God chose us as a nation, why He gave us the land, why did He put us through this process in the first place? Because our job as a nation is to be a Abadim Hashem. Okay, over to my time already.